that for sure.
Blog Talk Radio.
Where's Gary?
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Here we go. Come on. Sports with the 12th man is kicking off.
Hey, Gary, early for next week's show.
let's wait till he gets on, and then we can talk some junk here, because we got to let him hear that for sure, man, because all the jokes about him falling asleep, we're talking all kinds of junk. We are talking, look at him, he's even shaking his head. Yeah. he knows we're talking junk. Hold on, let me get him on. We're talking junk. You know we're talking junk, Gary, right? He's like,
That's all right.
Andre said you was early for next week's show.
Rob said, you can play the tape, Gary. I said no such thing, but that's all right. Is this Naj joining us right now? Hold on. Is this Naj joining us early? Naj, is that you joining us early?
Yo. Yes, sir.
Whoa, Naj is joining us right early for the start of the show, man.
All right.
What's good timing. Naj? We got a.
What up, big dog? Hey, you know how I be.
I'll be on time, bro. you're not like Tom Coughlin, because if you're 50 minutes early, you're late, man. But we're still going to give you some credit for that, man. So it's all good, my guy. But at least he's here. We're going to talk some stuff, man. The good news is that – well, not really good news. JQ is not here, so we definitely have the four-man thing. So we got another opportunity, Naj, kind of kicking some things too, man. But let me do the particulars really quickly. We'll get this party started. We're going to go around the horn and kind of check in with everyone. The month of January is passing us by. We're heading into February, the month of love, as they say. But anyway, let's get this party started here. Check in with the crew, Mr. T-Bob, Rob Port. How are you feeling this evening, sir?
Man, feeling great, man. Had a good Mexican dinner tonight, man. Ready to rock and roll.
This guy.
Asparagus tamales, huh?
No asparagus tonight.
Sound good.
None for lunch today, too, either, so.
You going to be okay? You going through withdrawals over there, Rob? You all right, man?
Yeah, you can skip one day every now and again. I'd get it back in tomorrow.
We're still going the over and under for the asparagus count, too, so it's all good. Rob is rocking the Bucks here. Go ahead, Gary.
Oh, yeah. Got the Giannis jersey on. Oh, yeah.
I'm doing good. Ready to get this show rolling, and I'm glad Naj is on tonight. You know, he can back me up on some of my wild-ass comments.
Always.
We shall see.
We
love it, man. Representing Boise State, I see, too, as well. Gary, it's all good, and, you know, all good. We see you. 1932.
Wow.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Love it.
So, man, we do like a quick round around the horn. How we doing? How we film this evening and stuff like that, Naj?
I'm good, man. All right. Well, just point blank, period. We had a coworker who was a little ripe today, underarms, you know, a little strong. So,
oh, boy.
We door-dashed deodorant for him. And instead of using it, he threw it away and got mad at everybody. I feel like he owed me money. Am I correct?
Yeah, he owed you some money for that. Oh, man.
That's crazy.
You DoorDash.
$10, man. Man.
With DoorDash and ask him deodorant.
He was mad at all of us.
He owes you some money.
He was mad at everybody.
Yeah, just to start America. Money for sure, man, because there's fees for DoorDash. That stuff's not expensive, man, you know, especially the economy that's happening right now. It's not cheap, man. So, yeah, get your money, Naj. That's what I'm going to say for that, too. So let's get this party started. We got a lot of things to talk about, a lot of things to dive into as far as what's been happening. Obviously, we talk about some NFL playoffs. We're going to talk about that, everything that's been happening, some coaching hires, some coaching news and stuff like that. But really quickly, we're going to fill out the numbers of the show. Always, always call your boys. The number to talk in sports, 12th man, it's the 424-243-9519 number. Follow us on X, not Twitter, which we are at the number 12, THMAN Sports, which is 12th Man Sports. And last but not least, we are on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/talkinsports, the 12th man, you will find us in that arena as well. We post our show topics as well as Robbie posting some great mock drafts for the NBA, NFL, all that fun stuff. Any comments we have going on, we always try to keep the page live from that perspective as well. So let's get this party started here. And this is pretty interesting, Rob. We appreciate you always doing the topics. And I guess we're going to start out with some NCAA basketball here. And we're going to do the top five teams and the tournament bowl here. So, Rob, I'm going to let you kick off with that. And then we'll get this party started with some NFL news and all that fun stuff, too. So go ahead with that, sir.
So my top five, UConn, the defending champs, got the number one. They're the most talented team in the country. Got two players on the team that are first-round draft picks, Stephon Castle and Clingan, the big 7'2" center. So they are definitely the most talented team if they're healthy, playing in a tough conference in the Big East. Number two, we got Purdue. Zach Edey, 7'4", and when their shooters are on, they're tough to beat, man, when he's able to kick out from those double teams. So, you know, we'll see if they can go far in the NCAA tournament. They've been having trouble once they get to the tournament. Number three, Houston, Kelvin Sampson. Big 12 might be the toughest basketball conference in America. I mean, they might have 9 teams to make the tournament. And leading the way is Houston, the way they play defense, their physical team. L.J. Cryer, tough ball player, transfer from Baylor. Number four, got Tennessee. Dalton Connect, you're talking about a scorer on that Tennessee team, reminding a lot of NBA scouts of Rex Chapman. And so he's on target to be a first-round pick here in his upcoming NBA draft. And my Tar Heels are dropping down to number five after the loss last night in Georgia Tech. So congrats, Andre, on the upset win. So, yeah, definitely a disappointing loss. Tar Heels on pace to go 10-0 or 11-0 in the ACC. I lost track there, but that was their first loss. I tell you, Georgia Tech gave them some pretty good athletes in the interior, gave Armando Bacon a lot of trouble. And that's the reason why Bacon is not considered to be a NBA prospect. He's just not a really good athlete, even though he's been a good college player. As far as teams on the bubble, I'll just name three teams. Villanova, you know, January 13th, Villanova was 11-5 and 4-1 in the tough Big East. But they've lost 4 straight in the Big East now. They're 4-5 in the Big East and 8th place in the Big East now. They do have big wins early in the season over North Carolina and Texas Tech. So if they turn it around, you know, they do have a couple of big wins in their repertoire here. And Boise State, you know, I don't know if it's coincidence that Gary is wearing the shirt tonight, but they're one of my bubble teams. They got 14 wins on the season. They still need some more big wins to get over the top. And Gonzaga, you know, this is a team that's last 20 years has just been a constant tournament team, but they're a bubble team this year. They got 15 wins, but their best win is over San Francisco. They do not have an elite win so far this season. So those are my three bubble teams right now, Villanova, Boise State, Gonzaga. They're right on the border of being in the NCAA tournament or out of the NCAA tournament.
Well, my first two are the same, but I still believe in North Carolina, even with their loss. I think they're the number three team in the country. And then I have Houston and Tennessee in the fourth and fifth spot. Purdue's in the second spot, but, man, they're a tough team. They really are a tough team. So I got UConn at one, Purdue at two, North Carolina, Houston, and Tennessee from my top five.
Yeah. So we got the same five teams, just different order. Yep.
Yeah.
There it is. You want to add to that, Naj? Anything you want to say to that?
I'll go chalk top five with them. I don't see anything different,
yep.
But I got to pay a little more attention, though, to find some sleepers before tournament time. But everything looks cut and dry, man. It looks like we're just going to see high seeds advance and, you know, looks like preseason and everything else pretty much got everything right. But, yeah, I'm going to try to find a sleeper, but I don't have one.
Good stuff. Yeah, mm-hmm. Keep it up, like I said, too. And like I said, Rob, I kind of agree, Gary, you know, again, they're still – North Carolina's still good. I mean, obviously – we can kind of go with that last, you know, that could have been foul at the last part of the game, you know, that could have, like, changed the outcome of the Georgia Tech game. But I'm just happy that we were able to compete, you know, and we talked about Nathan George,
mm-hmm.
the young freshman guard from Toronto. And Damon, he's doing some things, man. You know, he knows the power of having a great point guard. And, you know, we just kept throwing bodies at Baycock. And, you know, we got lucky, man, because, you know, I was, like, watching the game, like, yeah, we're going to get blown out because we've been blown out for – a couple games too, but we just we play hard. So you know, again, I can't wait for us to kind of get some more firepower. We got some good recruits coming in. Lance Terry, our number one, his number one scorer, he's out for the year. So again, you know, it's not like he has his full complement of players right now too. So we're holding on, as they say. But we'll keep it moving here. Let's talk about the Super Bowl halftime shows, and this is right up my alley. Obviously, being a DJ and whatnot too, we kind of talk about the major sports spectacle that it is. And everyone remembers, you know, the classic Super Bowls, you know, all the halftime shows and, you know, from last year to Rihanna to, you know, one of my favorites was Eminem, Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Kendrick Lamar, and Mary J. Blige. You got The
mm-hmm.
Weeknd. So these are some classic, you know, situations too that actually go down. The one that I'm pretty disappointed is the one that was in Atlanta in 2019 when they served us up Maroon 5. We should have had more of an Atlanta flavor, if you will, more Outkast. I know they had Big Boy kind of coming there with Travis Scott. But, again, that's the one that I'm thinking that we should have kind of had more of an Atlanta stamp to that one with Ludacris or, you know, obviously Usher's going to, you know, get another opportunity for this year's one. But that was one of the staple because in 2020, obviously, you had, you know, Miami, you had Secure, you had Jennifer Lopez, Bad Bunny. That was more of a flavor thing with that, too. So we've had some classics from the Justin Timberlakes to Marcy Hickman saying that to that moment, but Bruno Mars, Red Hot Chili Peppers, The Who. I mean, this has always been an interesting situation as far as entertainment for you know, obviously for this time of the year too. So Beyonce, can't forget her, Whitney Houston, Michael Jackson,
the
Prince,
greatest one of all time.
Yeah,
Prince.
There it is, Prince. Yeah, like you said, you are 100% accurate. My
wife
loves Prince, man. So, again, a situation where he was playing in the rain. I mean, that, you know, Prince is just one of the greatest ever, too, man. You nailed it, Naj, too. So, again, we've all had some great moments as far as the Super Bowls, and everyone's going to remember certain things, too. So, it's just it's becoming definitely an entertainment situation, too, for sure. I don't know if you guys want to add to that, too, for sure.
No,
I'm good with that.
Correct pronunciation for his name. By way of Atlanta, the correct pronunciation is Usher. I believe that is in the
Usher baby. Usher baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, we go with Usher baby. Yeah, it's all good, man. It's all good. So let's keep it going here, and we're going to talk about the Seahawks. I was trying to keep it memorable too. The Seahawks, you know, so we talked about that Sean McVay is no longer the youngest head coach, and we'll let Gary kind of tie these two topics together. But the Seahawks are reportedly hiring Mike McDonald as the head coach. He is formerly from the Baltimore Ravens. I know you can kind of talk about that. 36 years old, if you will. He's getting a six-year deal. McDonald's is pretty excited about it. He actually is a Georgia boy, too. So I don't know if you want to talk about that, Gary. And, you know, obviously
I think it's a situation where it's kind of a good deal that you are with one of the top defenses, so I don't think there's too much to mess up, but I'm sure everyone has their opinions about that. But, yeah, tell us that, and I know this is probably why JQ's on the call because he was Michigan's defensive coordinator too, so go ahead, man. About that.
Well, you know, what my take on this is, you know, these guys, instead of going old, instead of going to some of these retread, you know, coaches like Dan Quinn and those kind of coaches like that, because he also interviewed with Seattle, and I thought that he would be one that would have a shot. But the first thing I would have asked him is, hey, what happened in your last game? How'd you do in your last game? That's what I would ask him if I were interviewing. I would have wanted to know what his answer was on that. I think going young from a program like the Ravens, I think it's a fantastic move for him. Now he's in that younger spot, and I wish him the best, and I think he'll do well.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's coming off of, you know, leading. Obviously, you know, the Ravens lost that game, but the Ravens shut the Chiefs out the second half of that game. So, I mean, the Chiefs were 17 points at halftime, and they never scored again. So and the Ravens' defense has been really good all season long. So, can't blame their defense for them losing that game on Sunday afternoon at all. So, definitely a good hire. I agree with Gary on a lot of teams going with these young, energetic head coaches. You know, Andre and I was talking briefly before we started the show, and I was actually, you know, being a Saints fan and a Falcons hater, I was actually hoping the Falcons would hire Belichick, because I told them, I said, that would have been two easy wins for the Saints every year. The game was passed Belichick by. And but I think the Falcons made the right decision in not hiring Belichick. I was hoping they would hire Belichick as a hater, right? So I think they made the right move by going with a guy like Raheem Morris, a guy that can relate to the players a little bit more and to the game today, than going with a guy like Belichick, because that would have been two easy wins for the Saints every year. So kudos to Seattle and going with.
Wait a minute! I thought he was a genius. You guys, that's all you guys talked about is Belichick, and he's been the genius. He's such a genius that none of these teams wanted him.
Hey, that was 5 years, 5 to 10 years ago he was. But the game is passing by. Nick Saban said it best in his retirement announcement, right? You know, once you get to that certain age where you're north of 70 years old, I mean, you just don't have the same energy as some of these other coaches have, right? And, you know, I mean, they can still enjoy life and still do some things and things of that nature. But, you know, you got a 36-year-old coach, and that's a demanding job. You all know that. I mean, this is a job, especially during the season.
We're talking about game planning and this sort of thing. You got, you know, none of these teams wanted to touch him. I wanted them to go to the Cowboys because I hate McCarthy, but I would have even taken him. That's how bad I hate McCarthy.
He's 71 going on 72 years old. I mean,
I'd rather
stick with Dennis Allen than get Bill Belichick.
Oh, come on. Like, we can't do this. But look, I can't be so quick to say the game passed him by. I think more than anything, it's a power dynamic issue. If you put Belichick in the building, all of a sudden, does your GM get to overrule him? Does he have to report to anybody? I think that's where all the complex stuff came in, where people was like, wait a minute, dude. For one, you're not getting power of personnel because you're not good at that, as you have shown. And then for two, if I bring you in here, you can't just accept that you're the coach and that's it, and you have to report to people and you're not over everybody. That's where I think the problem became with Belichick. How do you hire him as just a coach? I think that's a valid point,
but I still don't think he's that guy anymore. You want to be the head coach of your football at this stage of his career. I just don't think he's that. Well, I mean, that's a valid point. Belichick wants to be able to not only coach the players, but he wants to be able to buy the groceries too, right? And, yeah, he's just not that. To me, he's just not that guy. You just don't want a guy that's coming in at 71 years old taking over your organization. I mean, first of all, the first question you got to ask, how many more years is he going to coach, right? You know, when you're hiring a coach, the plan is for them to be successful, and be with your organization for a long time, right? That's the plan. It don't always work out that way, right? But the plan is for you to hire a coach and a coach stick with your organization for a long time. So, number one, how many years is he going to coach? So, not only the point about him being a GM and who he's going to report to, but how long is he going to coach, and does he still have the same kind of energy to devote to a team 12 to 20 hours a day during the season? I mean, that's tough for somebody at that age.
Yeah, I mean, Spite will carry him, though. Oh, my bad.
Yeah. No. I mean, I'm going to just kind of go a little bit on this because I don't know if you guys have ever seen the show Game of Thrones. Huge fan of Game of Thrones, and that's kind of how I associate with Bill Belichick, because if you're the hand of the king, you pretty much have all the power. So if Bill Belichick comes in, he pretty much is like, I am the guy coming in, and nobody wants to give up power to Bill Belichick. As soon as he walks into the building, he immediately becomes that dude. So everyone's scared for their job. Like, yo, this is a football guy. I can't come in. I can't battle with Bill, because Bill, whatever Bill says goes. And there's a lot of people that don't want to give up their position. So I think if, same thing with the Falcons, if he comes in, he is basically just torching the earth and like, hey, this is, I'm tearing down everything because I'm the guy. I'm bringing in my coaches. I'm bringing in my sons, whatever that is. You know, all these things are happening with Bill. And so you can't tell me that there's 32 other coaches that are better than Bill. That's, I will say that, on, I will stand on the hill with that. But I do agree with certain things as far as if you want to sit there and say, hey, we want somebody that's going to be here for a long, long time. Yeah, Bill's not the guy, but if you look at contracts now, five years, whatever, you know, hey, I need you for a Super Bowl run, come in, do your thing. There is an organization that will basically say, yeah, I'll take you for that amount of time. That's what it is. You know, if you have a team that you need an extra push, or I need somebody to come in, and, yeah, you don't need them to do, you know, a lot of personnel, because there's some situations back and forth that you didn't really want Mac Jones. It was kind of forced upon him, or whatever you're believing as far as he wasn't getting a chance to make all those calls. And, you know, we talked about maybe he gave up Tom Brady a little early, but Tom was not looking that great in his second year at Tampa Bay, so he may be a little too premature with that. But, you know, Bill pretty much knows some stuff. So I think it's kind of a little bit of both. I do agree with you, Gary, though. It is moving towards and trending towards a young man's game, and Rob, the same thing. So I'm happy that we're getting this new blood in the NFL, not the same old. So I'm happy that we're getting good coaches, but I will say that, I mean, again, yes, anyone looks great with Tom Brady, but Bill, he's still a good coach. He's still one of the greatest of all time, too. So I'm going to basically say that from that perspective.
Yeah, not my question and what he's done in the past. I think Bill Belichick is the greatest coach of all time. I just don't think he's that guy now for your organization. I think the best role for him is a consultant for a team, right? I think that's the best role for you. See, like Mike D'Antoni doing that in the NBA in the 70s as a consultant to other coaches. Mm-hmm. I think that's the best role for him, is the organization hire him as an consultant. He's not the guy to lead your organization today. Like I said, I think Nick Saban said it best. You just can't compete with energy wise, no matter, you know. And Nick Saban, to his credit, I mean, he's in pretty good shape. They're probably a lot better shape than what Bill Belichick is in, right? But at the same time, you know, are you going to have the same kind of energy that Sean McVay have, or Mike McDonald have, or Raheem Morris have, or these young coaches in the are Kyle Shanahan going to have when it comes to the hours that they have to put into the workplace, particularly during the season, right? And, yeah, I mean, that's tough.
Yeah, but you saw
Don Shirley decline at the end of his career. I mean, you've seen this picture before, right? You've seen Tom Landry decline at the end of his career. We've seen this story lots of times before, where the older coaches, they decline the closer they get to 70 or over 70 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think that dude will be fueled by spite. The fact that he wants that record,
true,
and the fact that so many people have turned the story into he's nothing without Brady, so he wants to prove him wrong. So I think the energy part he would handle, but all the other stuff, like y'all said, that's the difficult part. How do you bring this dude into your organization without him trying to run everything? And then the other part is being the tough disciplinarian works when you're winning, but when you're building something, and you're trying to be Mr. Tough Disciplinary, you mess around and lose everybody. So there's, you know, there's good reasons why he didn't get hired during this cycle. And the Pete Carroll thing, we got to talk about that too. Like, that was like Goodfellas. Like, this is Tommy walking into that room not knowing, thinking he's about to get made, and he gets hit. Like, nobody expected Pete to be gone. He's kind of turned the thing around. He's retooled the roster. And they were like, yeah, we're going to kick you upstairs, dog. You're getting a gold watch, but you're not coaching this team next year. It's time to go. That one was surprising. But, yeah, this has been an interesting hire cycle. I think the best decision that's been made was Ben Johnson staying in Detroit as the OC.
Great call. Great call. Yeah.
We've got this news cycle now to where anybody who has success, no matter their age, we say all of us, oh, well, that guy should run his own team. He should have a team. And then when they wash out, then we say, oh, well, how did they think that was going to work? And then we do Black Monday again every year, you know, year upon year upon year. And Ben Johnson said, wait, I got a good situation here. Let me just be the OC here. Go back to the days of the Cowboys where an OC would just say, yeah, I'm an OC and I'm going to perfect this and stay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a good call. I know, Gary, you can talk about it too, because we're going to touch on the Lions too, because that I think that was surprising, especially if you're the Commanders. So you were thinking, oh, man, you thought he was going to be the guy, and then he kind of like did it a kind of 360 on him. And think about the Lions too, because that's a situation where, and like you said, you know, Naj, I'm happy because the interesting thing about the Lions, they're not going to be the same team next year, but they do, you know, they got their quarterback, right? That's the situation right there where, you know, you're running it back. You're going to add some additions to that team. You know, obviously Dan Campbell, everyone's going to talk about what he made, but he pretty much did the same thing he did all season. So he can talk about making those calls, but they were aggressive. You saw the growth of Jared Goff because he was a castoff for the Rams, and he has embraced that city. For my Falcon fans, this is a little side note here. I put a little teaser on the Facebook page. There's a guy that I think start fresh if we're not able to trade up, and if Chicago Bears don't want to play, you know, trade Justin Fields, a guy I think the Falcons should target is Hendon Hooker. That could be a guy. Hey, man, let's get a trade for him. And he can be the guy that can come in for the Falcons. We don't have to give up too much for him just as an option. So that's something, something to think about, you know, because, again, the way that Jared Goff played, they're going to talk about extending his contract, obviously, going into next season because he's earned it. There's a lot of things that have to happen, but I'm just putting that out there right now. So that's my 2 cents about that.
Man,
that's a lot.
That's not going to please the Falcons fan base who's going with Hendon Hooker. I mean,
it's an option.
That's not going to please the fan base.
Yeah, well,
I'm saying, like, you still get a better
option, but it's a reason to do it.
It's
a good reason to do it.
Yeah, but I'm saying, again, that's just an option if you can't play, because I'd like to start fresh. Like, if you want to trade up for Caleb Williams, you got to trade the whole draft. Obviously, we can get a Russell Wilson, and we can get a Justin Fields. That's an option. But I'm saying, just if they don't want to play ball, something to think about, too, as well. So just kind of putting that in the back burner. So, yeah, that's my 2 cents. Go ahead.
Yeah, because
well, you
I cannot, even think
you know, with Detroit.
Trade up for Caleb. I'll go ahead.
Go ahead, Gary.
Okay, well, with Detroit, this is what I would say. First of all, I think Jared Goff proved that, you know, probably even to himself, if he didn't, you know, if it didn't rattle him as a cast off from L.A. and then coming over there and then bringing, you know, switching quarterbacks and the Rams winning the Super Bowl and all that. For him to go make a deep run in the playoffs, deeper than they've ever gone in the playoffs, and in a position where they could have been in the Super Bowl with the exception of just a couple of plays here and there, he proved to me that he's their guy. And all year long, what did they do? They went for it. I mean, if they were on their own 45-yard line, 40-yard line, going for it on fourth down. You know, and making it. And you're going to live or die by that. Well, they died by that in the NFC Championship. The Niners are going. But as far as the team is well coached, they've got their quarterback. They're in a good position right now. They're in a good position right now for a while. Because I think they are a well-coached team.
Now, they got to improve the back end of their defense if they're going to be able to continue to compete. And, you know, they were one of the, I think they finished fifth in the league in scoring, but they also were one of the worst teams in the league in allowing points, too, this year alone. So, hey, no team in the league is perfect. Even the teams that win the Super Bowl still have deficiencies, right? And so even though that Lions team had one of the best years in their history, that back, that secondary of theirs still needs a lot of work if they're going to take that next step.
Yeah, they gave up a lot of pass yards.
I agree with you, Rob. And like you said, there's not a team in the league that isn't needing something.
Mm-hmm.
And but I think that they're an organization, finally, they're an organization that will address that. You know, in this upcoming draft, you know, they're going to, they look at that, they know how close they were, they're going to address these weaknesses. But I like that Riverboat Gambler mentality, I always have.
Yeah. Yep, I mean,
they need a pass rusher and secondary.
You're right. They need another guy to go with Aiden Hutchinson. Yep, you're absolutely right. But, yeah, those are gutsy calls, and, obviously, when those calls don't work, it's a bad call. And when they do work, it's a good call, right? But obviously it's a bad call because it didn't work in those couple of instances. So that's what everyone's going to point to as the difference in the game. I think there's some other things that was the reason why the Lions lost the game as well, not just those calls. There's a lot of factors that go into that. But definitely – and they had an opportunity to win that game. They could have just held on to their lead they had in the first half, and they got to the second half, started making some other mistakes. They had a turnover in there too. So it's not all – it's not totally on the fourth down calls.
No.
And these fourth down calls were good plays because they got what they wanted. It's just Jerry Reynolds just couldn't come through for them. And, you know, he dropped two fourth down plays, which is, you know – he's probably not playing if they're 100% healthy in the receiver room. Jameson Williams showed you he's far, you know, further removed from that injury. So he could be an explosive weapon for them next year. And I'm going to say Brown doing all the intermediate stuff. So, yeah, you guys are right, man. And Jared Goff has proven that he's not a robot for Sean McVay. Sean McVay may have limited him by keeping those training wheels on for so long, and now in Detroit, he's kind of coming to his own. So, yeah, salute to him for, you know, getting that grind off. But I do think he made a bad mistake with the play calling. I think he should have looked at this as an old-school football coach and said, wait a minute, let's go up three scores and milk this clock. Because I think they could have run on the 49ers and just shortened the game and won. But, like you said, when you rally the troops all season by going for it on fourth down, it looks scary when all of a sudden you don't do it. It looks like your coach is scared. Yeah. So I think that's part of why he didn't do it. But I think that was the road to winning. So, you know, damn if you do, damn if you don't.
Mm-hmm.
If you make those
plays. And we're all armchair quarterbacks, and we're all critics. And, you know, we're all looking at would have, could have, should have. But they just held true to what got them there and fell short, you know.
Yep.
They make those plays. We're not talking about it, and the players love it, right? They're like, "Hey, we love the aggressive nature," and they're buying in, man. So, and just to see that, I know he was a little devastated, and it was a great game. Like I said, that was one of the better games too, for sure. Go ahead, Rob.
The player supported his decisions, even though it didn't work. The player supported his decisions because we should have executed those plays better.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Let's talk about Anthony Richardson here, and can he lead the Colts to the promised land? And just as a quick side note, I think I made a situation where I said I was a huge fan of Anthony Richardson. I think he's just a stand-up guy. There was a story about him taking the time to during the rookie symposium. I think he helped the cleaning staff, and just an upstanding young man. But football aside, too, they were talking about how he's progressing a lot quicker than everyone anticipated, and I know he had that injury that made him miss the season, and he's been in all the meetings. He's been literally learning from Gardner Minshew, and I think this is really good for him because we've seen situations where you can talk about the Jordan Loves or the Patrick Mahomes in the situation where you've seen somebody and that just elevates your game, and I'm not saying he's going to turn into that situation too, but I just think it's really
really bright future for Anthony Richardson because super, super talented. Steichen did a great job as the offensive coordinator, you know, manning the team, and it's going to be a good situation for the Colts because they got their quarterback, and I think he can lead them to the promised land for sure. So I'm very excited about the future for Anthony Richardson.
What is
sure.
the promised land, win the Super Bowl or make the playoffs?
I mean, I think we should start with
making
the
Super Bowl.
Playoffs. Yeah, the playoffs would be good in the Super Bowl for sure. But
if it was win the Super Bowl, probably not.
Talking about the future, right? Let's get to the playoffs first. Let's kind of start from there too. So, but I get you.
Right, because that's the franchise quarterback build. Can you get me to the playoffs every year where I got a crack at winning the Super Bowl? That's all you're drafting for. That's what you ultimately want. And the guys who do that, those are the guys who get new stadiums built for you. Shout out to Peyton Manning. So when you get a guy who comes in and every year you're winning 10-plus games and going to the playoffs and have a shot, that's what it's about. And A-Rich, the talent is there. So who knows what's going to happen. But you put that guy in any draft and he should be a top 5, top 10 pick just because of his attributes and that ability. And what you do with it after that, you know, that's organization.
Future's bright. Future's bright.
And if you look, I mean, we got a small sample size of what he can do this past year, but the small sample size that we did get, I mean, he was pretty impressive. Throwing the football accurately. He was running the football.
Yep.
He was almost looking like a poor man, Jalen Hurts, in the year Hurts went to the Super Bowl, right? Obviously, Hurts didn't have a good year this past year, but he was looking like the Jalen Hurts that went to the Super Bowl in that small sample size. And he's more athletic than Jalen Hurts. When you talk about burst when he runs the football, now it's going to be up to the coach to find a strategic plan and keeping him healthy, right? And that's half the battle. That's half the battle. You got to be available. And so they got to make sure he's available because, I mean, they were knocking on the door to playoffs with Minshew, but Minshew can't do the things that Anthony Richardson can do from a talent perspective, right? So if you can get a healthy Anthony Richardson long term, then that just makes that offense even more dangerous, right? So definitely the small sample size that we got this past year, he looks like that he can definitely – have the Colts competing on a year-in, year-out basis if he can stay healthy.
We're finally excited to see his growth. It feels like Andrew Luck has – the curse of Andrew Luck has been over us for a long time. But, he had that grade 3 AC joint sprain in his throwing shoulder. That was in week 5. So, obviously, him taking the time to get the surgery to correct that. 16 weeks after surgery, he's literally trying to push it and get back to it, to that timetable. And we're excited. We'll have to talk about it, see the future of where he's going to. So I'm a fan of him, and I know he's probably itching to go to see everyone else in the draft class to perform. And he's like, I got to be there too. So the future can be bright for these younger quarterbacks too. I guess the next question here as we continue on is who will the Commanders hire as head coach now that they've been left at the altar by Ben Johnson. So who's left? Who's out there? Do they kind of wait and see what happens with what's going on? I mean, they're hoping that Andy Reid doesn't retire and they get some competition, but who's out there, I guess, if you're the Commanders, Rob?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think there's a little bit more to that Ben Johnson story, too. Ben Johnson was asking for a lot of money, believe it or not, and the Commanders – and the Seahawks were kind of balking at his asking price a little bit too. So I think it was a little bit of that, as well, and the reason why he pulled out of the position. Because the Commanders as well as the Seahawks were kind of balking at his asking price. But as far as who's left out there right now, they interviewed Aaron Glenn for a second time today, and defensive coordinator for the Lions. So he's obviously a guy that's possibly in the running. They still have not officially interviewed Mike Vrabel, and but there's always still a possibility there with some of the success that he had with the Titans. Also, they interviewed Dan Quinn as well, and they've interviewed Andy. have interviewed Anthony Weaver, who's a Ravens defensive line assistant head coach as well, and Eric Bieniemy. They've interviewed him twice as well. So, and according to the Commanders, they're not token interviews, but they did interview Eric Bieniemy. And you guys brought up Belichick. I think he's a long shot, but, you know, I think it's a, you know, I think he could be a last resort there as well for the Commanders to consider there. But those are kind of the six names that's kind of thrown out there right now.
Yep.
Yeah, if Dan Snyder still ran it, they would have gave Belichick 15 per season. They would have gave Belichick that job.
Yeah, the Commanders
right,
are
probably.
He did, you know, and again, you know, obviously we don't know, you know, be a fly on the wall in these interviews too as far as what's happening, as far as Ben Johnson. You know, maybe like we talked about, there's a little bit of both of that, Rob, like you talked about. Him saying, I want all this money up front. You know, again, we don't know if he's like really, really like, yeah, I like the Lions, you know, or whatever happened too. So, you know, there's probably some more behind that story for sure. But at this juncture, we'll see what happens with the Commanders in that situation too. Like you talked about Aaron Glenn, I heard about that one. You know, Anthony Weaver too. We'll see what's happening too at this juncture too. So, but yeah. It's interesting how Belichick is the long shot. What if something crazy happens and Andy Reid wins the Super Bowl and he retires, and then, you know, you got freaking Bill Belichick going back to there. So that's the – who knows what can happen, man. Some crazy crap can happen for sure, because we know how Bill wants to get those last 15 wins to take over Don Shula's record. Speaking of Belichick and the Chiefs and all that fun stuff too, this is a shout-out for Jerry, because Jerry Jones did mention and did make a nice little quote that, hey, on Belichick, we could work together. So what do you think about that, Gary? I know this is Gary is so desperate, Naj, that he would even take Belichick at this juncture just to get rid of McCarthy. So what about that little blurb?
You know, I dislike Belichick, as you guys well know, okay? But I hate McCarthy.
You hate him so much, you'll take the.
Not as a person or anything, but just, you know, his ability to. I wanted him to get fired. Okay, I wanted him to get fired this year. I will say that. Who knows if he's available next year and the Cowboys do the same thing and shit to bed. You know, as old as Jerry Jones is. He may be willing to say, okay, come on in. What do you want? Take what you need.
Yeah.
Please get me another Super Bowl. Okay,
yeah.
Jerry,
because
open your wallet. Anybody I want, give me another Super Bowl. Two strong personalities. He's had strong personalities in the past with him.
Yeah. Eagle can take it, though.
We'll see how that works. You know, one thing that
this is one of the few places it could work, too.
Yeah.
You know, Bill Parcells, you know, had a strong personality, and he was that guy that would go into, you know, Jerry's office and say, you know, what the fuck are you doing, Jerry? You know, mind your own business or whatever. Belichick would have those kind of chops where he could potentially, you know, put an owner like Jerry Jones back in his seat a little bit. But Jerry wants to win one really bad, and he's running out of time with his own mortality and his own time, and he'd love to win another one. If Belichick's available next year and the Cowboys do something similar, I can see that happening.
Hey, January 31st, hey. Jerry wants to have Belichick. Wow.
I think that Jerry Jones, that was a subtle message to Mike McCarthy, right? You know, Mike McCarthy's in the last year of his contract, right? And yeah, they're going to play this thing out and wait to see how he performs this year, whether or not he gets a contract extension. So I think it was a subtle message to Mike McCarthy. Hey, yeah, you know,
yeah.
you need to win big this year, or you know, it could be Belichick or somebody else coming to Dallas, right? I think
just hold on,
a subtle message to McCarthy.
Got you, Bill.
Give me a year, Bill. I promise, man. Just, we'll see what happens next year. I'll get your wins for you, my guy.
When I was reading this, I also read that Bill was taking a step back and going to take a year off.
Yeah.
I read an article about that just before
yeah.
we got on. I was so mm-hmm.
yeah.
You what's your take on that?
Well, his agent has to work, so his agent has to get that story out there. After you strike out on a job you want, you have to tell him how. Yeah, I'd be here to take a year. And shout out to Urban Meyer for creating that story back in the day. But yeah, I'm gonna take a year, hang with my family, and get right. Then I'll come back. So I think that's more of he didn't get hired, so they got to present a good face on it. But I think Dallas and Garrett, like. Take this how – I don't know what Gary's going to think about this, but I think if you bring Bill in, you give the players an out because then the players say, oh, well, it wasn't us. It's we were calibrated properly, and if we bring Bill in, he'll get that part done. Then culture-wise, you have the talent where all the discipline stuff won't make people tune him out because you have the talent to actually win big. And that defense that underperformed – I don't think we see that under Bill with somebody like
yeah.
Micah under his tutelage. So, to me, that would have been the one spot where he probably should have gone.
just to torture Gary,
probably.
I love it. He figured out a way to stop that 49er, defense, that offense, excuse me, because the 49ers be running all up and down on Dan Quinn, man. No offense, Gary, man. I think Dan Quinn be having some challenges, man. He can't stop Kyle Shanahan for nothing. Can't the 49ers, man. That dude be pissing his pants.
Kyle Shanahan next week will stop himself. Don't have to worry about anybody else stopping Shanahan.
He definitely has to prove that for sure. So speaking of that, Chiefs were built because we were kind of we loved how Patrick Mahomes was the dude, but they had some chinks in the armor, right? We talked about how he was hurt and whatnot, and the receivers couldn't catch a cold, and they messed around and beat up with the help of the Ravens having some turnovers and Zay Flowers just kind of going a little nuts and having fumble problems. But Chiefs came through. The defense played phenomenal. We talked about that, but they're there. How are they able to build another Super Bowl team, Rob?
Well, I mean, obviously through the regular season, I think we all would agree on this show, we didn't think this was a Chiefs team that was going to get to the Super Bowl, right? But it just seemed like the light just –
Ravens and
just
Bills.
– clicked in the playoffs, right? And Mahomes is still Mahomes, number one. And Andy Reid has come up with a master game plan just about every playoff game. They've been getting the ball out of Mahomes' hand quickly. The offensive line is not as good. They've had some success with Pacheco and running the football. And obviously Travis Kelce is healthy because he's a totally different player than what he was in the regular season after he had that early season injury. And they finally are getting the receiver to step up, Rashee Rice. He's a rookie guy, highly drafted, and talented guy coming out of college. And now he's starting to be that guy to step up for them as a receiver. So it's giving them another weapon in the passing game. But to me, I think the biggest reason why the Chiefs or going to the Super Bowl, even with Patrick Mahomes, is their defense. And Chris Jones and the defensive line has been outstanding. Trent McDuffie and Legarius Sneed might be one of the better 1-2 cornerback duos in the league. So when you look at their defense, that's been huge for the Chiefs this football season, all year through the regular season and even in the playoffs. They're constantly coming up with big plays. So they've kind of reinvented themselves a little bit here, but that's I think the defense is a big part of the reason why they're going in the back to the Super Bowl.
Well, you're giving Patrick Mahomes just one or two extra possessions, three or four extra possessions a game, and that's the difference in those games.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they're not scoring, just hanging onto the ball and getting a couple of first downs and running the clock down, it's these sort of things. And that, to me, their defense was number one, but number two, I like how that Pacheco runs. He runs mean, mm-hmm. he runs hard, and he hangs on to the ball, and he runs angry. Yep. And I wish the Cowboys had a back like that, because Tony Pollard couldn't get 1 yard if his life frickin' depended on it. And this guy needs to pick up a yard, and he gets six, and he's dragging bodies with him. I think that's
that a big guy?
Great move for him. Yeah.
Yeah, probably won't be a long career. Probably won't be a long career, but an explosive career. Shout out to Pacheco.
Yeah.
But more than anything, this is about adjusting to your talent. Talk about, mm-hmm. hey, you want to get a quarterback on a rookie deal and then build around him, yada, yada, yada. Okay, but what happens when you find the quarterback and you got to cut costs on offense? Well, you have to draft well. And they drafted well, and Andy looked at this and assessed this and said, okay, we actually have to play kind of old-school football where we're trying to limit possessions, we're trying to kill the clock. We're going to let Pat Mahomes make some magic every once in a while to get us enough points. But they're trying to shorten the game. And you know, as Rob said, they're leaning on that defense because that's where their talent is. And I think way too many teams try to force things to happen because that's the way they're supposed to happen, when it's more realistic to say, this is what we got. That wide receiver group is not getting any better. They're not going to be great tomorrow. So let's just build on our strength. We're going to go to Kelsey. We're going to run the ball, Pacheco. And guess what? We'll punt if we have to. And shout out to Pat Mahomes, too, because this is the Brady early championship formula. A lot of the Brady celebration over the years has turned into he was always superstar Tom Brady. When no. Those first three chips, this is how Tom Brady played. Made plays when they were there and, leaned on the defense and special teams, and they won games. And that's what KC is doing, man. I feel bad for doubting the boy Mahomes, man. That is – he's a special guy, man. He's
never
the best to ever do it. And, by the time this thing is done, we might be having an argument about him and Brady. But, this was an amazing run for them, man. I can't believe they made it to the Super Bowl with that wide receiver talent.
That's what we're talking about, and that's the crazy part. So you think they'd be able to double, like, Travis Kelce. That dude's like, I can't stop Kelce. He's still making plays. That's Mahomes. He's doing his thing, man. He's making enough plays. Credit to Andy Reid, able to scheme some things. We talked about Pacheco. They're able to do that. And like you said, the defense, they've been able to really shut down, and it's the heart of a champion. You talk about that, having that resolve.
Mm-hmm.
And you nailed it, Naj, because they said that Patrick Mahomes couldn't win away from Arrowhead. He won two games on the road. You know, he proved that he is becoming that dude, right? Because they thought they were going to shut him down. And like you said, this is a squad. We didn't think they'd be in the Super Bowl, even though the Taylor Swifties, we're hoping that we can't get away from that. They have to have him in the Super Bowl to get more stuff. I'm just joking. But we'll see what happens. If he can pull off another win, man. So we'll see. Rob, you got about 6 minutes left in the show. We're going to get some time to do the updated mock draft. Hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about some draft projections with Michael Penix Jr. because we've got Senior Bowl actually happening as well. So touch base on that, and we'll get ready to do some last-minute stuff for the show.
Yeah, I'll cover the updated first round, and I'll go over – our teams here really quickly. So, obviously, I got the Bears still taking Caleb Williams, quarterback for USC, which means in this particular mock they'll be trading Justin Fields. Obviously, there are a few teams out there that are interested in Fields, namely the Falcons and even the Pittsburgh Steelers, to name a few. The Washington Commanders, Drake May is the number two pick, quarterback from North Carolina. New England, Heisman Trophy winner, Jaden Daniels, quarterback LSU. We talked a little bit about this one last week. Marvin Harrison Jr. to Arizona, a team up with Kyler Murray. L.A. Chargers, Brock Bowers, tight end from Georgia, gives Justin Herbert and the new coach there, Jim Harbaugh, weapon. Malik Nabers, wide receiver, LSU to the Giants. Giants desperately need some weapons in that offense. We got Tennessee taking Dallas Turner, edge rusher from Alabama. Got the Falcons taking Joe Alt, offensive tackle from Notre Dame. Now, the Falcons already have a good offensive line, but they can plug Joe Alt right in there, right tackle, maybe move the left tackle, in the future, and he's probably the best offensive lineman in the draft. And, of course, you can never have enough good offensive linemen. The Bears, Rome Odunze, wide receiver from Washington. They need another weapon as well. They got the Jets taking Olufoshanu, offensive tackle from Penn State. Minnesota, Byron Murphy, the second defensive tackle from Texas. In Denver, La'atu Latu, edge rusher from UCLA. Las Vegas taking Jared Verse, edge rusher from Florida State. Got the Colts taking Terrion Arnold, cornerback from Alabama. The Saints got a lot of question marks on the offensive line. Got it taking Talese Fuaga, offensive tackle from Oregon State, to the Saints. And Bo Nix got him going 16 to the Seahawks. Jacksonville, Kool-Aid McKinstry, cornerback from Alabama. Cincinnati,
wow.
I know JQ's not on, but he might listen. You never have enough offensive linemen for Joe Burrow, and there's some question marks on Jonah Williams. So I got him taking J.C. Latham, big offensive tackle from Alabama. And the Rams taking Amarius Mims, offensive tackle from Georgia. Pittsburgh, Enos Rakestraw, Jr., cornerback from Missouri. And I'll stop at 21, Miami, Nate Wiggins, cornerback from Clemson. I'll go over some additional picks through the fourth round just for our teams. I already talked about the Falcons taking Joe Alt. Got the Falcons taking J.J. McCarthy, quarterback Michigan, in the second round. In the third round, I got him taking Edgerrin Cooper, who's probably one of the fastest linebackers in the draft from Texas A&M.
Right.
Good sideline to sideline linebacker. The Falcons got two third-round picks, so I got him taking Jermaine Burton. Speedy wide receiver from Alabama, 6 feet, 194 pounds. He's got great top-end speed and good route running. Below average jack and great tackles ability, but he's got some, definitely got some top-end speed. And then in the fourth round, we got the Falcons taking offensive guard Dominic Puny, 6'4", 323, very good run blocker. Started a lot at tackle in college, but doesn't have the arm length to play tackle in the pros, so we'll probably have to move over to guard in the NFL. And my Saints, I mentioned Talese Fuaga, offensive tackle from Oregon State. In the second round, I got the Saints taking Jatavion Sanders, tight end from Texas. I got us taking Jonathan Brooks, running back from Texas, in the third round. And then in the fourth round, Saints draft another offensive lineman as well, Christian Mahogany, offensive guard from Boston College, 6'3", 322. Violent run blocker, strong hands and pass protection. Needs to improve his footwork, though. In Dallas, real quick, got him taking Chop Robinson, athletic edge rusher from Penn State. Johnny Dixon, cornerback from Penn State, 6 feet, 196 pounds. Great athlete with good cover skills. Just needs to improve his tackling. And Gary, to answer your question, got the Cowboys taking a running back in the third round from Oregon, Bucky Irvin. He will definitely be a top weapon in the NFL. He's small, 5'9", 190. Reminds me a lot of Devon Achane and Kyren Williams for the Rams. So it'll be another weapon in the run game for the Cowboys. But that's the end of the mock draft preview and the end of our live portion of the show on tonight. Get ready for a brief OT portion. You click on the same link to get the rest of the show and maybe get some comments on this draft where we just went over here really quick. So stay tuned. Click on the same link for the rest of the week. Next Wednesday night, Miami Heat. We want to hear from y'all. Man, y'all on a big-time losing streak. We want to hear from y'all down in Miami. That's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Central Time Zone, New Orleans. We want to hear from y'all. What the Pelicans are going to do this year? 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. And also Mountain Time Zone, Denver. We want to hear from y'all, too. Y'all going to repeat this year. It's going to be 9 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And can Sean Payton get y'all over the hump in Denver? And on the West Coast, we got the Raiders with a new head coach, Antonio Pierce. We want to hear from y'all and see how excited y'all are in Las Vegas land, 8 p.m. Pacific Time next Wednesday night. Good night, people.
And there it is. End of
charges, as they say, set it out too. So, yeah. Gary, any comments on the mock draft? You'd like to rob up with that?
Yeah, that was fine. I'm always impressed with his mock drafts, and as we get closer and closer, he modifies them and does real well at it. Very impressed. I want to ask you a question about this Halliburton kid. How could he potentially hit with a, you know, losing $40 million? How is that whole thing working out?
So actually, he's got a bonus in his contract that if he's an all NBA player, he has a $40 million bonus. And in order to be an all NBA player, the NBA changed the rules to where you have to play at least 65 games. And he's out right now. We don't know if he's coming back. And so he's on a border of possibly not meeting the 65-game criteria this year. So that could cost him a $40 million bonus.
Wow, that's what it was. I didn't have a chance to look that up. Well, that's interesting.
Yep. But when he's been healthy this year, he's been a heck of a player. I mean, the Pacers are playing at a fast pace too, man. They playing an up-tempo style ball, and I still like to see him see how they play when he comes back with the guy Pascal Siakam and Miles Turner. There's Aaron Nesmith guys playing well, so they got an interesting roster. So we'll see how it all comes together for them once he comes back. But he was playing outstanding basketball. You know, the knock on him coming out of college was that he was a good floor general. But he wasn't a great athlete, but he's still not a tremendous athlete, but, man, the guy will have 20 assist games with zero turnovers. Man, that's just incredible. And and he's improved his shooting, man. His range on his shot is tremendous now.
Yep, that ugly knuckleball three goes in, man. And he's so crafty off the dribbles, it's hard to stay in front of him. So, he's a really good player. And this was a big mistake by the NBA, pressure from fans and media, where they did this 65-game thing. And what it ends up doing is, as we saw with Embiid and Halliburton, it forces guys to try to go in situations where they shouldn't, and they end up aggravating injuries even more, so they end up missing time anyway. So, like, we've all known, all NBA and NBA MVP voting, if somebody misses too many games, they just don't get the votes anyway. So, but by putting this in, you're kind of influencing whether guys should play or not in situations to where they're they probably should think better and rest themselves. And the Sixers, their whole season now is in flux because we all saw Embiid is clearly banged up. But, if you're trying to get to 65, you want to keep playing because there's a financial incentive. But, hell, having a longer career is a bigger financial incentive. So, I hated that for Halliburton. And good job with your mock draft. Dude, Bucky Irving reminds me of Gibbs in Detroit. I think he's going to be a really good weapon for somebody. And that kid, that tight end from Texas you talked about, Sanders, that dude's a freak. I think he's going to be really good.
I think he's the second best tight end in the draft behind Bowers from Georgia. But, Sanders is definitely a big weapon. And, obviously, but if you look at the Saints situation, I've got a mock to the Saints right now in the second round. Jimmy Graham is 95 years old. And Juwan Johnson finally got healthy at the end of the year. And, I think they could still use another tight end there. And they still list Taysom Hill at tight end. So, and he's getting in his mid-30s, too. So, they're going to need to get younger at that position.
If the Chargers get Brock Bowers, that's good. It's going to bring back memories of Antonio Gates. Man, you talk about a great tight end back in the day, too. So, they're going to have another great weapon. And I think any quarterback needs a great tight end. Needs a great tight end to kind of settle them. So, that's something that, if you look at the Texans, having Dalton Schultz there was a great move for kind of calming down CJ Stroud. You have to have that outlet as well. And that's tough, man. Again, we always give you credit for the draft, Rob. I think I'd hurt a little bit if we don't get Dallas Turner. We definitely need an edge rusher too. Now, granted, Joe Alt's a great tackle. I'm not mad about that too. So hopefully, it depends on what happens, right? If we're not getting a quarterback somehow in the offseason through trade or something like that, hopefully we get a rusher. We need an end. We keep drafting weapons here, but I do like Alt, if you will, too, because obviously Jake Mack is getting older. Caleb McGarry, he's not the worst thing in the world, too, but like that. And you got to look at Zach Robinson, the new offensive coordinator. We're going to have a lot more three wide receiver sets, man, a lot of, different type of personnel. So we definitely love the Burton pick from Alabama. That dude's a speedster. Love that situation, too. We can get lucky and have someone similar to Paka Nacula. That would be even more amazing, right? Somebody that can just, make catches and work on that yak, man. So, the future is bright, man. So I like that for the Falcons, man. But good stuff on that, for sure.
And obviously the J.J. McCarthy pick in the second round, if the Falcons acquire Russell Wilson.
A quarterback.
Or they get Kirk Cousins from Minnesota, or if they make the trade for Justin Fields. I mean, that's a moot point, right? So obviously in this mock, you're looking at the current Falcons quarterback situation, but you're probably not going to take McCarthy if you acquire one of those quarterbacks.
Absolutely. Yeah. So again, that's why we're not sure. This is half of me, part of me, Naj, wants to start fresh. I think that's why it would be a wise situation to kind of go all in and get Caleb Williams and say, this is kind of a fresh new start, right? Let's just kind of go brand new air underneath Raheem Morris. But do you give up all of that capital, right? Or do you kind of say, hey, let's kind of, like I said, make a move for a quarterback? I'm not as excited about a Kirk Cousins as everyone else, even though he is familiar with that Kevin McConnell offense. That's kind of a two-year plan, but you can draft the next five if that's something you're looking at too, Rob. So that's the situation that can come up. Same thing with Russell Wilson. So, there's some options out there that sustain us to get to the next level too. So, interesting.
Yeah.
Getting somebody in the draft instead of bringing in somebody like Kirk Cousins is really long-term is a better move. You get him from the rookie contract and,
Andre, you make a good point. If you go with a veteran quarterback like a Russell Wilson or Kirk Cousins, you actually still could possibly take a J.J. McCarthy in the second round, right? A lot of people questioned the Packers when they drafted Jordan Love, right? But now the Packers are looking like geniuses, right? I mean, hey, why are you drafting Jordan Love when you got Aaron Rodgers on the roster? But Aaron Rodgers is 37 years old when he drafted, right? So you get a Kirk Cousins and a Russell Wilson, like you said, it could be just a two-year plan, and you draft a McCarthy to possibly take over. And we know McCarthy is projected to be a starting quarterback in the NFL at some point, if not his rookie season, right? So, it's not crazy to think that, you still could possibly draft a quarterback, especially if you go out and get a veteran guy. Now, if you get Justin Fields, you probably won't draft a quarterback that high because he's still fairly young. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then how many teams are going to want to trade up from 8, 9, 10 and go up and get Caleb Williams after what Carolina did last year, right? Carolina, I don't know if they're regretting the move, but on the surface, you would think they're regretting that move, right, when you look at all the capital that they gave up.
Yeah, they gave a lot.
To go up to number
they
one.
Gave up.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave up Christian McCaffrey, too. We don't think about that. And the players that they drafted, they're still hurting for that situation. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they had to make that happen, but the players that they drafted is not going to fill in for that talent. Christian McCaffrey, on the Panthers is a lot better, obviously, with Bryce Young. But that's a whole other conversation, but it's spilt milk. I do really quickly want to wrap this up, but I'm curious.
Let me say this real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me say this real quick. I don't think Caleb is available. I don't think you can – I think the trade would be almost Ricky Williams-ish, almost
– I agree.
What's my man name from Georgia? I can't even think of his name now.
Herschel Walker.
Yeah, I think it would have to be that level of trade to move up for Caleb. So I don't even think it's on the table. I think the move is Justin Fields, unless the Bears get greedy and start asking for too much, and then you move on to, you know, Kirk and old Russ. But, yeah, I think those are the things that are in play. Drake May and Caleb, I think, are just solid in those two slots. I don't think you can give up enough to get them from those teams.
That's fair. Yeah. I can see that, too. I think that's a good call. Really quickly, Rob, what's happening with Michael Penix Jr.? I've been watching some Senior Bowl stuff. He's been pretty impressive, and, you know, there's still some question marks as far as his injury history and whatnot, too. But I know you didn't have him going in the first round, if I'm not mistaken, Rob. I didn't get a chance to look at the draft thing. But where did you have him and kind of what his projections are?
I actually go right now. I have him going in the second round to Minnesota, and this is assuming that Minnesota doesn't re-sign Kirk Cousins, et cetera. But right now, I have him going 42 overall, the second round to the Minnesota Vikings. And hey, listen, there's no question about Penix's talent, his arm talent for sure. But there's a couple of things that some scouts are still worried about when it comes to Penix, and the reason why I don't have him in the first round right now. Number one, you mentioned his injury history, right? And the second thing is he does not have the best mechanics. And that's one of the things that he'll have to work on in his workouts with scouts at the Senior Bowl. You know, these are all opportunities for him to show differently. And he had one of the better offensive lines in the country. He had some moments in the playoffs where it didn't look like it, particularly against Michigan. His offensive line didn't perform well in that game. But throughout the season, he had one of the better offensive lines in the country, right? And they won the award for the best offensive line in the country. So I think that's the things that he's going to have to – his medical is going to have to come back clean when these scouts, you know, get physicals and things of that nature. And I think he's got to show some proof of improved mechanics for him to go higher in the draft.
Hot name on the rumor mill. We might get a story that he doesn't have muscles in his right arm, and his left leg is deteriorating, and it might fall off tomorrow. Like we're going to get some nasty rumors against him to drive him to that second round, like Robin's saying. Like I'm expecting that to happen. Sorry, Gary.
Well, the good news for him is really overall is that. You know, these quarterbacks that are drafted high, they're going to a team, they're drafted high because that team sucks. That team's, you know, one of the worst in the bunch. If you get Penix on a team that's, you know, maybe a borderline playoff team, and they've got they've already got a quarterback in place, you can put him in there, you can work on his mechanics, and I think he'll be just watching him out here and watching him quite a bit, I think he'll end up being if his health is good, I think he'll end up being a very solid NFL player.
Mm-hmm. They were saying his comp was – I was reading that. No, his comp was Tua. I'll listen to your thing, too. But that was his comp, like Tua. I was like, is that because he's left-handed? Because there's not a lot of, left-handed quarterbacks, you know, that were successful from the Steve Youngs or the Mark Brunells, if you think about it. But – I was like, Tua was his comp? That was interesting, Gary, when I was reading about that. So, I don't know. I thought it was pretty interesting.
That's a good comp. Yeah, that's a good comp. Well, how crazy is this? If you're Carolina and you look at the struggles of Bryce Young, is it out of pocket to draft a quarterback behind Bryce Young from what we saw this year?
I don't think that's the case. Nah, you don't do that. I don't think so. But that's just me. He just ran it to bad situation. Just coaching, man, I think. I don't know.
I think it'd be a good move.
A bust.
I don't think they draft one high. You know, do they draft one in the mid-rounds and the late rounds? There's always a possibility. But I see Carolina. Yeah. Obviously, they don't have a first-round pick because of the trade with the Bears. But I see the Carolina really trying to go after some help for them in this draft. I look at them right now in the second round. I got Carolina taking Xavier Worthy. Our receiver from Texas is probably one of the fastest receivers in this draft. So I think they need some weapons for him. His wide receivers that he had, man, they were slow as Christmas. And so he's going to need some. He's going to need some help.
Adam Thielen, W.R.
And also the offensive line. Yeah.
traded DJ Moore.
That's the problem. He was 95 years old like Jimmy Graham. And so you look at I think you're looking at two things for Carolina really focusing on earlier in this draft. That's some wide receiver help, and that's some offensive line help. That's what they're going to need. And they may even have addressed a little bit of that in free agency too, right? But I think they're going to focus on trying to get him some help first before they close the door on him as a quarterback.
Yeah.
I'll
just
send you that.
Him is not based on talent around him. I just wonder if not only is he too small, but he's not, and he doesn't anticipate enough to make up for all the shortcomings. But yeah, like Rob said,
yeah.
Though, you're playing behind a makeshift offensive line. Your number one wide receiver is Adam Thielen. Like that's not enough weapons to be good. I'm just not so sure. Just looking at a bust.
Well, that's early. It's early. Who's your tight end? Who's your tight end right now?
He has
no weapons, my guy.
None. He really didn't. And the offensive line was horrible. And going into the year, they thought the offensive line was solid, but it just dropped off tremendously from the year before to this past season. I mean, the offensive line dropped off. So, I mean, I kind of, like I said, thinking of Xavier Worthy, wide receiver in the second round. I got him start out the fourth round, getting Anthony Belton off in the tackle from North Carolina State. And I don't think the draft is going to be enough. I think you're going to have to address a little bit of it in free agency, too.
Yeah. And then you got organizational failure, because that boy Tepper is a terrible owner. He's doing a terrible job. And if y'all want to scare yourself with any ideas about Bryce Young, go look at what Andy Dalton did in his two starts for Carolina with that same talent.
Ooh-wee. Okay. We'll take a peek at that. I'm sure that's JQ's guy. I'm sure he has some things to talk about from that perspective too. So don't get him started on the red rifle, man.
Well,
but all good.
Well, one other note I'll make about Carolina, I mean, they just hired a new head coach, Dave Canales, who was offensive coordinator for Tampa. And you saw Baker had somewhat of a resurgence in his coaching. You saw Geno Smith the year before had a resurgence under his coaching in Seattle. And there was someone else before Geno, I can't remember. Oh, and he also got a lot of credit for Russell Wilson's success, too. So he's been a guy that overall throughout his career been a good quarterback's coach, and that was the reason, I think the main reason why Carolina hired him, because of his track record, and seeing if he could come in and get Bryce Young on the right track.
Yeah, we were all like, who got hired by, who's going to take that job? And I think whenever you're looking at the interviews and, you know, Spolick has decided to kind of go back, and you kind of pick and choose, and he decided, hey, it's probably easier for me to kind of stay where I'm at, you know, this juncture too. So, But related to that topic, like you said, Rob, there's a situation where, you know, you can't blame everything on – there's some things that Bryce did, but, you know, coaching was something huge for him too, man. I'm not quite yet ready to call him a bust, Naj, but, you know, again, let's see if he gets
not
some
yet.
Weapons, see what happens with that line before we go all Zach Wilson on him or anything like that too. But, again, you know, I don't want to – like I said, I don't want to be good versus Falcons, obviously, but just I don't want to be like – I'm not rooting against him, but I'm like, yeah, I do hope that he can. We'll see. It's kind of early right now, man, seriously. So.
Yeah. And, you know, one other thing I'll add to that, too, is I'm not ready to call him a bust yet either, but I will say this. There were a lot of games when I did see him play, he just did not look like he had the it factor. When you saw C.J. Stroud had the it factor, it just didn't look like Bryce Young had it. But I'm not ready to call him a bust yet. But there were some games he just did not look like he had it.
Yeah. So, like I said, I think that some coaching is in there too, man, because, again, what's the difference between Brock Purdy getting in a good system? You know, and granted, everyone talks about he's a game manager. He actually doesn't make the throws, but I think coaching does help that too. Same thing with Ritter, man. That dude didn't get – there's no coaching for Ritter. Man, come on, man. You need to help that dude out. It's terrible, man, how you think about –
With Brock Purdy, what an ideal situation. You put him on just mediocre team. You know, you got one of the best running backs wide receiver group, offensive line, defense. You know, you got mm-hmm. you got the whole team coaching. You got the whole thing. So he fell into mm-hmm. a really, really exceptional situation. And I'm positive he's aware of it and he understands that. But he's definitely yeah. made
make
the most
plays,
of
though,
it.
Gary. You got to make the plays, Gary, because Trey Lance can do that well in that system as well. Because you got, I mean, Trey, well, you know, Trey yeah. Lance had some plays, but it's a different situation. I'm not going to, you know, he did luck out, but again, he has to make some plays, and he did make some plays. So I'm going to give him a little credit from that perspective, too.
You know, a lot of people, yeah, people say game manager, they look at it as a negative thing. And but that's, hey, the great quarterbacks have to be game managers, right? I mean, there's a lot of things you got to do as far as distributing the ball, knowing where to go, you know, changing plays at the line of scrimmage. That's all a part of being the quarterback of the game manager. You look at it in basketball, a point guard position is a game manager, right? So I don't, you know, some people look at it when you call a quarterback or a point guard a game manager as a negative thing. I don't think that's a negative thing. If they're a good game manager, you're a good quarterback.
Yeah.
Well when I think of game managers, yeah. I think of like a Trent Dilfer or something like that. That's
Brad
what I'm thinking
Johnson.
About. You know.
Right. And the thing about Brock is the kid is fearless. Some of those stick throws he makes, some of those tight windows he throws into, where you're like, oh, don't do that. But sometimes he gets it done, and the ability this week where he showed, like, yo, I'm just going to get this with my feet there. I'm going to take it. And, you know, you just got to give it up to Brock Purdy, man. He's a really good player, mm-hmm. like I said. Every perfect conditions are around him. And, that's what it has to be sometimes. You give perfect conditions to Matt Ryan, you can win a couple Super Bowls. So is Matt Ryan more talented than the Staffords of the world? No, but if everything else is there, you can get some things done.
Yeah. I'm making sure of that, man. He had to have everything perfect for him, man, which is tough, man. Some people are great at improvisation, man. That's what
– Most quarterbacks are like that, though, Rob. You know.
What, are like,
don't
what?
You
most quarterbacks are like that.
What'd you say, Rob?
Don't the Falcons want Matt Ryan to be our starting quarterback next year?
Get out of here.
Oh, yeah, he'd be really good. With this group, he would be really good as a young man. Of course, not walking in at his age, but as a young man, he'd be really good with this group.
Yeah,
that's why the field kids make so much sense for the Falcons, because he's on the same timeline as the defensive talent and the weapons they got. So I don't know if the rookie kind of sets them back. So, yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. That's the thing. I mean, either, like, you have to – I'm a fan of Zach Robinson because the new offensive coordinator for the Falcons, because he was on PFF. He was, like, one of the analysts. But he actually was the one guy that gave some props to Patrick Mahomes whenever it wasn't popular, believe it or not. He was like, yeah, this guy's going to be a player. They were like, man, get the hell out of here. And he called that. So having somebody that can actually see talent, and, you know, that's pretty positive. So – maybe he sees something we don't see with the fields, like you said, Naj. I mean, you know, because it is tough having a rookie come in, because what C.J. Stroud did is pretty abnormal. Even like the Peyton Mannings of the world, I know it's different from timing, but what C.J. did was pretty phenomenal. So you have to have some situation where you put that quarterback in a good situation. You have great coaching. You have an interesting team too, because you know, again, we're hoping for something like that, but it's not as common as you said, Gary. So it's a lot of things to think about for sure. That's my thought.
And before we get out, can I at least lay this critique out? Todd Monken did a horrible job in that AFC Championship game. I'm sorry, horrible game plan against that really good Kansas City defense, and Lamar fell into the trap of I'm going to prove to you I'm a pocket passer. Nah, dude, y'all not making plays. You need to run. And I was really disappointed in Lamar for that. That decision making to keep trying to hit that, you know, that deep ball because they were playing cover three and a lot of zone. Like, dude, you better go get some of your heart. So, I was really disappointed in his play.
And Rob sent me a text beforehand that everybody wants their coach fired. It's like, man, y'all played a bad game. John Harbaugh fired. Like, what the hell? It was crazy. They want him fired already. I was like, dang.
Fire.
He'll be better under Monken next year. We all know that. He rocked with Monken. Played a bad game.
Yeah, go ahead.
In that game, it seemed like he was trying to adjust to Spagnuolo instead of dictate more than anything. And, you know, that was just a big mistake. But, yeah, of course he's coming back. He should.
It was just crazy. I saw that. We saw that text, like, folks want to get rid of the coach already, man. That was hilarious.
Then the funny thing, you saw it, they said number one, fire John Harbaugh.
Yeah, fire John Harbaugh. And then
it did down at number six. Make sure you do number one.
Yeah, go back to number one. That's fire. I was like, dang, that's hardcore. I would take John Harbaugh on a heartbeat, man. Y'all better get the hell out of here.
Yeah,
I agree.
What you wish for.
But every team wants
to
fire.
He had teams lined up for him.
Oh, man.
Get his teams ready. But I did notice that too, Naj. That he, you know, I was sitting there and I'm like, run, you know, gosh, you know, and there were times when he had lanes and he could have picked up, you know, 10, 15 yards or more the way he runs, and he just didn't. And he just threw it anyway. I'm like, damn.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they had it to do over again, but you don't, that's the problem.
There it is. Different team next year. It's going to be rough, man. So, but he'll get better. Like I said, everyone is ready to crap at him as well, man. But it's all good. All right, gentlemen, have a great rest of your evening. Have a great week. February is upon us. So we will see you guys same time, same channel next week for sure. Be safe this weekend for sure.
All right, y'all.
Good show, gentlemen.
Peace out.
All right.
Yep.
All right. Good night, fellas.
Yep.
Good night.